Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Cross by S.E. Harmon, narrated by Kai Rubio. When we are tired, we are attacked by ideas we conquered long ago. Friedrich Nietzsche. Prologue. The Past. There was never a good reason to be called into Peter Dobroslav's office. I'd learned that time and again, and I had a feeling that this day wouldn't buck that trend. I stood quietly as he flipped a silver, monogrammed case open and pulled out a cigar. He claimed smoking was his only vice, which was, quite frankly, laughable. By my estimation, enjoying a Cuban occasionally was the least of his offenses. He cut the end, stuck the cigar in his mouth, and pulled out a solid silver lighter from his desk drawer. I watched as he expertly burned the end of the cigar, rolling it in the flame slowly. The ember burned bright as he took his first leisurely puff. And finally, finally, he was ready to acknowledge my presence. Visually, that was. The formicary was only a 5-story building, but the ride up the elevator had seemed so much longer. That was mainly because I'd known that this cold, merciless stare was up here waiting for me. He'd given me an order to stand down, and I'd done the exact opposite. In his world, that was a very big deal. I'd like to say it was exclusively pride that kept me standing in place. But pride could only account for about 10% of me not turning tail and scampering out of the building. The other 90% was in the form of Dobroslav's bodyguard and head of his goon squad, Chaos. He stood behind me, arms folded across his massive chest. I wasn't sure that guy was entirely human. I shook my head at my fanciful thinking, which made me wince. It probably wasn't the best idea to aggravate my head injury. During my attack on Vargas's compound, some guard had caught me unaware, and I'd paid the price. He'd blindsided me with a fist to the head, which was not cool. Of course, I'd killed him after that surprise attack, but still, not cool. His handiwork blended in with the rest of my injuries. My hair was matted with blood above my right ear. I had a cut from razor wire on my shoulder. I'd also injured my leg since I'd underestimated the height of Vargas's gate. Well, not so much the height of the gate as the distance of the drop after I scaled it. The adrenaline of my failed mission was starting to wear off, and I just wanted to go home and lick my wounds. And by lick my wounds, I meant drink booze, obviously. Look, let's just get on with this, I said impatiently. If you were going to have me killed, you should have let your goon here do it downstairs. That way I wouldn't drip blood all over your pretty carpet. Chaos kicked the back of my knee and I staggered. When I was sure I wouldn't fall, I whipped around to face him, fists balled at my sides. He wasn't even remotely impressed.
I wouldn't do that, kid.
Kid? I puffed up further. I'm 17, I snapped.
If you want to make 18, you'll shut your smart mouth, he advised. Or I'll shut it for you. You show respect when you talk to the boss, grandfather or not.
It was easy to forget that this cold man was my grandfather. It was simpler to just think of him as Dobroslav. I turned my ire on him because it had to go somewhere. That bastard Vargas was still breathing, and I was unable to do anything about that until my injuries healed. And God knew how long that would take. I also had to come up with a new plan, one that would account for the new security measures that Vargas was probably adding as we spoke.
Leave him be. Dobroslav looked mildly amused. He's Katerina's son, after all. Why should I be surprised that he's got a temper?
Don't talk about my mother, I said heatedly.
I lost Katya too. You don't get exclusive rights to grieve for her.
Then why are you just sitting on your ass doing nothing about her death? Why don't you care about avenging her?
I felt something trickling down my face, and I froze. Please don't be tears. How horrifyingly embarrassing would that be? I swiped at the liquid and realized it was just blood from my head wound. Thank God. Wait, that probably wasn't good either. Taz Vargas is still alive, I said lowly. That bastard had my mother killed, and he's still out there living and breathing and enjoying his life.
Katya knew the rules. She knew what would happen if she failed.
Technically, she hadn't failed. But before Vargas died, he'd had just enough breath left to tell his son who killed him. Now it was my job to make sure Vargas Jr. joined his father.
What about my family? My father? My sisters? I demanded. Did they know the fucking rules, too?
This. He pointed at me with his cigar. This is why you fail.
Because I give a good goddamn?
Because you're ruled by emotion, Christian. Always have been. You're too much like your father and not enough like your mother. Katya might have made some bad decisions in the end, but she would have never botched a job like this.
He shook his head.
That's why I turned you away in the first place. I knew you didn't have what it took.
His words stung more than they should have. Why should I care what a man like Dobroslav thought about me? Maybe I was too emotional. I'd been driven by the thought of revenge since I'd found out that Taz Vargas called for a blackout of my entire family. When I should have been a kid doing kid things, I'd been driven by the blackest emotion possible. Revenge. And now that I'd taken my shot, I failed. So yeah, I was a little emotional about that shit. Sue me.
So why am I here?
I suddenly felt extremely tired. Why did you assign Mr. Roboto here as my watchdog and invisible shadow? Chaos chuckled behind me, even as Dobroslav put his cigar in a crystal ashtray that probably cost more than my entire wardrobe. He folded his elegant hands.
Because I made a promise when my Katya died that I would make sure you didn't go down our road. That you would be normal and do normal things. I did not want death and violence to be the force that drove your life.
Yeah, well, that's not what I wanted.
That's what Katya would have wanted. And now look at you. Angry. Embittered. So injured you can barely stand on your own two feet.
For the first time, I saw genuine emotion on Dobroslav's face as color suffused in his cheeks.
I didn't bring you here to punish you, foolish boy. You've done that enough. I brought you here to ask you to change your ways. Let this go.
I set my jaw. Not a chance in hell. He read my defiant answer on my face.
You're going to get yourself killed.
That's my decision. And it's my life. Or lack thereof. Planning to single-handedly take down an outfit like Vargas's didn't leave much time for a social life, and that was just the way I preferred it. I couldn't be effective if I was worried about who I would leave behind. No. This way, the only one who would care about my death was an estranged grandfather who saw me as a liability. I would go back to training. I needed to go back to the shooting range for more practice and more training down at the dojo. I'd heal and get myself back in fighting condition. Then I'd see what new measures Vargas put in place and figure out a plan. My aching leg made me wince, and I amended that a tad. A better plan. In the end, support came from an unlikely source.
You might as well help him,
Chaos said, his tone the epitome of boredom.
Otherwise, he's not going to survive his next attempt.
I don't need your fucking help, I snapped.
I immediately wanted to kick myself. Why would I turn on the only person in the room who was on my side? I was acting like a dog who'd been abused one too many times and saw everyone as a foe. Maybe Dobroslav was right. I was too emotional.
Oh no? Chaos raised a mocking eyebrow. You triggered a hidden alarm as you were breaking into the compound. I had to kill 3 of Vargas's guards that you didn't see, not to mention the sniper I took out. He had you in his crosshairs the entire time and radioed in your position to Vargas.
Why didn't they stop me?
Vargas was watching you on his security cameras the entire time. If I had to guess, he probably wanted you to find all the weak spots in his compound. Then they could shore them up after they put a bullet in your skull. He shrugged. He may not be quite the kingpin his father was, but he's not a complete idiot.
Like you. Everyone in the room could hear the rest of that sentence. I could feel my cheeks getting red. I was well aware that a thank you was in order. I gave gratitude in the form of the cold shoulder instead. It was a fledgling branch of Hallmark I was trying to get off the ground. When you know you owe someone a thank you and maybe an apology, but you'd rather die than say it. My company motto would be, "Turns out this is the hill I want to die on." Dobroslav sighed.
I will help you, if for no other reason than I don't want you to end up like your mother.
Even after the way I screwed up so spectacularly? I couldn't believe my ears. I was this close to getting everything I ever wanted. I thought I could take down Vargas on my own, but I needed Dobroslav's resources. And clearly I needed more training than my money could provide. I was almost afraid to ask, but I had to be sure.
You'll let me join the Formicary?
He nodded his head affirmatively.
But you have to go to school. You will get an education and finish college.
I knew it was too good to be true. I bit my tongue to hold in words better left unsaid and went with the generic, "Why?"
He stood and rounded his desk, and I resisted the urge to shrink back, but he only leaned against it, his thumbs hooked in his belt.
Because that's what Katya would have wanted, and because you're going to need an education when you take over this place.
I frowned at him. Take over the Formicary?
I was momentarily nonplussed at the hint of life beyond my revenge on Vargas. Honestly, I didn't see myself getting out of Vargas's compound when I finally killed him. That's why I focused all my plans on a way in, not a way out. Thinking about the future beyond that was strange.
I don't want you out in the field forever. If you're going to join us, you're going to do it right.
He raked that cold gaze over me, head to toe.
I wasn't sure if he found anything to be proud of, or if he just saw me as a misshapen lump of clay that he needed to throw on a pottery wheel.
You're a Dobroslav drone, and Dobroslavs strive for perfection.
I was a cross, actually. My father was Sean Cross, and I carried my surname with pride. But I wasn't about to ruin things when I was this close to the finish line. Drone? Why do you call me that? I frowned as I jerked a thumb toward Chaos. Why does he get a codename and I'm a fucking drone?
Because you haven't earned your codename yet.
When will I earn it?
When I say so, he snapped. Until then, you'll be known as the nameless, faceless drone you are, who can impress me by not fucking anything up.
I gritted my teeth. But when you made a deal with the devil, you didn't go over all the clauses in the contract with a magnifying glass. A voice in your head just cried, "Sign, sign, sign." And you did.
What will my codename be?
I asked, when I could finally speak without cursing him out or telling him what he could do with his precious organization.
Your mother named you Chrysalis because she saw you as her new beginning. And despite the idiocy of naming a child after a cocoon, I will honor that.
He pushed off the desk and came closer. I stood my ground, even when he put his hand on my shoulder none too gently.
But only when you've proven yourself.
I was going to let that idiocy comment go. For now, I held in a cry as he squeezed my shoulder with the injury, and I knew it was purposeful. I won't let you down.
I hope you don't, I'm not a man to be trifled with, drone.
He looked at me almost fondly as he squeezed harder and finally got me to wince. Blood rose to the surface of the wound as it started to weep again.
If nothing else, you'd better learn that.
I nodded shortly. He enrolled me at Cresthaven University a week later. I'd missed the enrollment period for the prestigious school, but somehow, he'd made it happen. I didn't ask any questions. I was starting to learn that Peter Dobroslav made a request, and the world moved. My coursework was challenging. My schedule was brutal. When my guidance counselor, a lovely rosy-cheeked woman named Pearl, objected, my grandfather just looked at her blankly. Christian will do what is required of him, he said briskly. And that was that. After my first class, I walked across the scenic campus feeling completely out of place. The leaves were starting to turn and fall, which was some sort of beautiful. The weather was crisp, but still nice enough to sit outside, which many students took advantage of. I passed lots of them sitting in the grass, talking, laughing, and studying with friends. Some guy in a backward cap leaped for a frisbee and wound up in the fountain as his friends laughed uproariously. I curled my lip as I walked on. I passed by the glass wall of the administration building and froze, confronted with my reflection. In ripped jeans, a graphic t-shirt, and some battered Converse, I could have been any normal college student. I also had on a hoodie and an army green crossbody satchel, the latest model of iPhone in my back pocket. Dobroslav had given it to me, with the instruction to keep it on and charged, always. What if I'm in the bathroom? I'd asked. He'd given me the "did I stutter" expression that meant he was just about out of patience. I enjoyed being a smart aleck to him, but I knew how to toe the line. Unfortunately for me, he'd jumped into the grandfather role with both feet. I almost expected the old bastard to meet me on the weekend with a batch of homemade brownies, then slap me for daring to eat such a childish thing. Just because I was starting to warm to him didn't mean I'd forgotten he was a cold-blooded killer. He didn't want me to forget either. I was the heir to his empire, but I had to watch my step, follow the rules. His rules.
A soft man like your father doesn't inherit all this, he'd informed me.
I'd wanted to punch him in the face for that. He stared at me impassively as I got my emotions under control. I was getting a lot better at that. I wasn't sure if that was a good thing.
Is that so?
My voice sounded like I'd been gargling gravel. A brief smile crossed his mouth, so quick that I thought I'd imagined it.
It is. Only the son of the monarch sits in the king's chair. You want all this? You show me that you are your mother's son beyond genetics.
So that had become my mission. Briskly, I headed for the dorms. I needed to get to the formicary and train, but first I had to get my freaking homework out of the way. I had a lot of it, each assignment drier than the last. Dobroslav had insisted I get a degree in business administration, and I didn't care one way or the other. I held the door open for a couple of girls and entered the lobby of Rose Tower as they exited. They both gave me a hello. One friendly, one flirty, that I returned begrudgingly. I had made a few friends against my will, mostly because they were just too persistent to be deterred. The most outgoing and determined of the bunch, Zach, caught up with me at the elevators.
Yo, Chris, he said. You up for some pizza? I'm heading down to the quad.
Yo, Zach, I mocked. No.
He didn't seem to notice my irritation.
I met your new roomie. He seems like a pretty cool dude. Much better than the loser they stuck me with.
He flipped his blonde hair out of his eyes. The roots were dark as pitch, but he swore that was the style. As someone whose style consisted of washing and air drying, I didn't debate the topic.
Your roommate is okay, I said dismissively. He won't even let me touch his TV, Plus, I ate the last toaster pastry this morning, and he went ballistic.
Frankly, I thought his roommate was more my speed. He was quiet, kept to himself, and didn't remind me of a big, shaggy sheepdog who always wanted to play. Then some of Zach's words filtered in through my distracted brain.
Wait, what? I don't have a roommate.
Then who is that dude moving his shit into your room?
I had a brief nightmare of Dobroslav sending my watchdog to live with me just to make sure I didn't get into trouble. I bit my lip.
He didn't happen to look like a blonde Terminator, did he?
No.
Zach laughed.
He was kinda hot, though, if you're into that sort of thing.
I wasn't. I wasn't into men. I wasn't into women. I wasn't into anything that didn't get me closer to putting a bullet in Vargas's head. Not for the first time, I gritted my teeth at the idea of wasting all this fucking time at Cresthaven. I wasn't a typical kid who'd grown up in a stable household. My biggest problem, bickering with my siblings. My entire family had been murdered, and I'd been swept up by witness protection and stashed with an older couple. Maria and Mark were nice, but they preferred cats to people and had no idea what to do with a kid like me. I'd had way too much time alone with my dark thoughts. Even having another kid nearby who was also in witness protection didn't help. Nicholas Shelby's father had kept the books for a mafia kingpin and got himself killed. That gave Nick and me strange common ground. When I found out that he was a computer whiz, I'd asked for his help. He'd hacked into private files and told me what really happened to my family. Then we spent all our free time researching one of the most successful cartels in the world and plotting how to take Taz Vargas down. Dropping me into the middle of all this normalcy was like punishment. I was supposed to have a single, I bit out, as if Zach was personally responsible for this travesty.
I was supposed to have a date with that hot chick Lindsay, but she gave me a fake number. Now I have a date with that hot chick working the register at Jamba Juice. Life goes on. He grinned. Later, bro.
I scowled at his departing back and the,
"Yo, Craig!"
he directed at another kid passing by. I stomped on the elevator. If some douche thought he was moving into my room, he was sorely mistaken. It was bad enough I had to mingle and interact with these people. I certainly wasn't sharing a space with one. I got off on the 10th floor and proceeded to bulldoze my way through the crowded hallway. Latecomers were still moving in, and the place was littered with parents and kids moving in their tons and tons of unnecessary crap. All the beanbag chairs and fluffy rugs and matching dorm sets from Target confounded me. I'd brought a single duffel. My door was open at the end of the hall, which ratcheted my anger up even higher. I stormed through the door and stopped cold at the sight of the guy hanging a picture above the bed on the left side of the room. Zach hadn't been entirely accurate. Kind of hot, didn't cover it. And that was just the view from the back. He was in gray sweats that did absolutely nothing to hide his muscled behind, and a tank top. The douchey kind with the extra-large armholes. He had nice arms and shoulders. Nice everything, really. His ash-blonde hair was probably long, judging from the girth of his bun, and kind of wavy, judging from the tendrils escaping at his neck. His shirt lifted a little as he reached to secure the frame, and I swallowed. Okay, maybe I was into men a little bit. A lot of it. As tempting as it was to explore that theory, distraction was not on the menu. I opened my mouth to tell him where he could take that rockin' body and his irritating man bun, and my gaze caught on the picture he was hanging. A smiling woman with the same blonde hair was planting a kiss on the cheek of a tall, handsome, bearded guy. He was as dark and burly as she was, fair and short, and he had his other arm around two giggling young girls as they stood in front of a lake. The loss of my family hit me hard, even harder than it usually did,
Being around all this normalcy had frayed edges that I usually kept neatly tucked away. I moved a few steps closer to get a better look. This was what my life had looked like before. Just before. Sometimes I almost wished I could have let things go as Dobroslav advised. But revenge was not just a dish served cold. It was linked with hope. The positive and negative emotions clashed, creating feelings that made no sense. As long as revenge was my goal, I had hope. There was something out there that could make me feel better. Some act that could bring back the life I had. Only revenge was a liar, and I could never go back. Nothing I would do from this moment forward could ever bring them back. So where did that leave me?
My dad died when I was 6.
His voice startled me, and I glanced over at him, only to find him looking at the picture.
My mother has a great guy in her life now, but we were all we had for a long time. It's hard not to be with them.
His mouth quirked.
I was always their protector, you know. Self-appointed, but still.
I get it, I was surprised to find myself saying. I'd expected my first words to him to be something about not hanging pictures on my fucking wall because he wasn't staying. Why did you come here then?
My mother made me. She thought it would be good for me to do something just for me.
He made a face that was too charming. I felt myself blush a little, and I was embarrassed, which made me blush more. I rubbed a hand over my face. Good Lord, what was wrong with me? I'd never reacted like this to someone before. She's probably not wrong, I offered.
Do you have any family?
I shook my head slowly. Not really. Just a grandfather. We're not really close. And by not really close, I meant he was helping turn me into a better, more efficient killer so I could take over his empire of assassins. You know, the usual. He leveled me with big, soulful brown eyes.
I'm sorry.
I shrugged. Don't be. That's just the way it is.
Well, sometimes family is what you make of it. Friends can be the family that you choose.
I don't have much in the way of friends either. I didn't know what stopped me from adding, and that's just the way I like it. Maybe because I didn't want to seem like an antisocial loser in front of this guy. I'd just met him, and I already knew he was everything I'd never be. Decent, optimistic, well-adjusted, beautiful. Wow, my blush wasn't going anywhere anytime soon.
Well, maybe we can do something about that.
He gave me a lopsided smile, and I was lost. He held out his hand and I shook it, almost on autopilot.
I'm Grayson. My friends call me Gray.
Hi, Gray, I said, because I certainly intended to be this strange boy's friend. His smile widened, and I felt the power of it down deep in my bones. I was almost afraid to see it at full strength. I think I knew then that he would change my life. I just didn't know how much. It only took us one semester to realize we were more than just friends. It took another few months of casual dating to realize I wanted to rip the arms off anyone who looked at him twice. Over the years, he showed me a different life, one where I wasn't just a budding assassin with a target and a goal. It was a life of family and laughter and love. It was almost surreal how my life split into completely polar halves. In one world, I was in a loving, fulfilling relationship with an amazing guy. In the other, I was a killer training to become a better killer. Eventually, I was good enough to go out on missions with Chaos, and he showed me the definition of showing no mercy. I tried to hang back on the outskirts when it came to Gray's family, but his mother, Tipper, made that difficult. She was welcoming and generous to a fault, just like her son.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?